This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds us for our own well-being, our own success, our own happiness. O believers, be mindful of Allah as He deserves. Worship Allah as is His right upon you. And do not die except in a state of submission. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow us to live consistently upon Islam and to die upon Iman. Allahumma ameen. It is officially a new year in the Islamic Hijri calendar as of 2 days ago. And as we know, historically, this calendar was adopted for a number of reasons. The first is to document. And what's interesting historically about this is that in the era of Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anh, they gathered some of the companions and they spoke about this matter of what month to start to with. What month should we start measuring the basically Hijri calendar? So oftentimes many Muslims think that this month of Muharram, the first month of the calendar, is the actual month of migration. But in fact, it was in Rabi' al-Awwal. And it's important for us to mention this just so we have a distinction between them. But then the question is, why Muharram? And there were a number of reasons that were given that were documented historically. Amongst them, Umar radiallahu anh, he mentioned to the companions in that gathering, he said migration, the hijra, is the differentiation between what is right and wrong. Those who left, meaning that entire journey of the Muslims going and establishing their new home, being safe and secure for the first time, this was an important moment to document. Some of them said, let's start with Ramadan. We know the great status of the month of Ramadan. Others said, let's start with Muharram. And Umar radiallahu anhu agreed with this opinion. He said, let us start with Muharram, for it is the end of the people's pilgrimage. People are finishing their Hajj and they're going back home after Dhul Hijjah. So they ended up starting with the month of Muharram. And the great scholar, Al-Hasan al-Basri, rahimahullah, he says about this, he says, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala started the year with one of the sacred months. We'll talk about this in a moment, inshallah. And there's no month after Ramadan that is greater, أَعْظَمُ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ, than the month of Muharram. And it is called Muharram because of the severity of its sanctity, how sacred it is. Now we know in the Quran that the 12 months are referenced, meaning to have a measure of 12 months of time. It's mentioned in the Quran. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, إِنَّ عِدَّةَ شُهُورِ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ 12 شَهْرًا فِي كِتَابِ اللَّهِ يَوْمَ خَلَقَ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ مِنْهَا أَرْبَعَةٌ حُرُمٌ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, indeed the number of months ordained by Allah are 12 months in Allah's record. This refers to Allah al-Mahfuz. Since the day He created the heavens and the earth, this was the plan for us to have a means of measuring time like this. And then He says, 4 of these months are sacred. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala adds to this something extremely important for us as a command. ذَلِكَ الدِّينُ الْقَيِّمْ فَلَا تَظْلِمُوا فِيهِنَّ أَنفُسَكُمْ. This is the right path. Do not wrong yourselves in these months. Which months? Some scholars say this means all the months, the 12 months. Other scholars say no, it was specified for the sacred months. The 4 sacred months, according to a number of authentic narrations, are the months of Dhul Qa'dah, Dhul Hijjah, Muharram, and Rajab. These are the 4 sacred months. What does that mean? They have a greater sanctity. So, it was known from the time of Ibrahim alayhi salam, according to some historians, that the sanctity of these months, that you cannot fight, for example, other tribes, there cannot be wars, there cannot be bloodshed, that these are sacred months. This was passed down from generation to generation, to the extent that even the mushrikeen in Mecca, even the idol worshippers, had still carried this message over, this value over. So they also did not fight during these times. It was considered something sacred. The month itself that we are in right now, the month of Muharram, which in the Arabic language literally means that which is forbidden, Muharram. And there's a sanctity to this month. And Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma, he says, فَلَا تَظْلِمُوا فِيهِنَّ أَنفُسَكُمْ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala singled out these 4 months. He made them sacred. There's a special status. He emphasized them. And although sinfulness throughout the year is prohibited, the sinfulness during these months is even more severe, meaning the weight of it is more severe and the reward for good deeds is also greater. Just as we say in Ramadan, the reward is multiplied, the reward during these sacred months is also multiplied. Sometimes, during or right before the month of Ramadan, we're talking about stopping bad habits. And every now and then you'll hear someone say, no, we have to stop, it's Ramadan. But they're referring to a major sin. No. We got to stop for at least the next month. One of the young men I was talking to in a halaqah, he said to one of his friends, he didn't know I was listening. We had a side conversation. He said to one of his friends, bro, we can't do that during Ramadan. We can't vape during Ramadan. He said, just don't worry about it until after. As though sinfulness during Ramadan is important and the rest of the year doesn't matter. As though this is the month to repent from sins and the rest of the year is a year in which there's hedonism, disobedience to Allah, no right and no wrong. And the reality is we know this. But one of the greatest lessons we take is found in a beautiful quote of Qatada rahimahullah. We mention this name often. Qatada, who is he? Qatada is one of the following generation after the companions. He was a student of Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiyallahu anhu. And Abdullah bin Mas'ud, as we know, one of the early converts to Islam, directly heard the entire recitation of at least 70 suwar from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, meaning he was always with the Prophet alaihi salatu wasallam. He was from the early stages of Islam. Abdullah bin Mas'ud is one of the scholars of Quran from the Sahaba. So he teaches in Kufa after he leaves. He teaches in Kufa a number of students who go on to become scholars of tafsir themselves and scholars that we reference all the time. One of them is Qatada rahimahullah. So Qatada said something very beautiful. I'm going to mention the Arabic and translate as well because of how important this is. وَقَالَ قَتَادَ فِي قَوْلِهِ فَلَا تَظْلِمُوا فِيهِنَّ أَنفُسَكُمْ. About this ayah, do not wrong yourselves in those months. He said, إِنَّ الظُّلْمَ فِي الْأَشْهُرِ الْحُرُمِ أَعْظَمُ خَطِيئَةً وَوِزْرًا مِنَ الظُّلْمِ فِي مَا سِوَهَا وَإِنْ كَانَ الظُّلْمُ عَلَى كُلِّ حَالٍ عَظِيمًا. He said, to commit wrongdoing, oppression to yourself, meaning to do wrong, or to others as well, during the sacred months is even greater of a sin and heavier as a burden than ظلم, oppression at other times, even if ظلم is one of the most severe things at all times. Meaning you avoid it at all times. And then he said, وَلَكِنَّ اللَّهَ يُعَظِّمُ مِنْ أَمْرِهِ مَا يَشَاءُ. However, Allah chooses to honor certain things from His creation as He wills. So He gave some examples. قَالْ إِنَّ اللَّهَ اصْطَفَى صَفَايَ مِنْ خَلْقِي. Allah has chosen elite, special things from His creation. Pay attention because we experience these year long. The first He said, اصْطَفَى مِنَ الْمَلَائِكَةِ رُسُلًا وَمِنَ النَّاسِ رُسُلًا. He chose from amongst the angels certain angels to be messengers. Who's this referring to? Amongst them, Jibreel alayhi salam. And from the human beings as well, Allah chose some people to be messengers. وَاصْطَفَى مِنَ الْكَلَامِ ذِكْرَهُ. He chose from all the speech you can possibly have, all the things we can say, that the best of speech is dhikr. The best of speech is to mention Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to study the Qur'an, to have gatherings of knowledge. وَاصْطَفَى مِنَ الْأَرْضِ الْمَسَاجِدِ. He chose from all the places on earth, a special merit is given to the masajid. And this should be a reminder for us to always be looking for the things that are special. If you know of all the places on earth that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves the houses of Allah, then try to be frequent in the houses of Allah. Try to be regular in the houses of Allah. وَاصْطَفَى مِنَ الشُّهُورِ رَمَضَانِ وَالْأَشْهُرُ الْحُرُمِ. From all the months, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chose the month of Ramadan and the four sacred months. وَاصْطَفَى مِنَ الْأَيَّامِ يَوْمَ الْجُمْعَةِ. He chose from the days of the week, the day of Jum'ah. This is a day that is considered a Eid for the Muslims, a day of honoring Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, of coming to Jum'ah prayer, which is mandatory for the men, a day in which we increase in our acts of worship, we make more dua, and so on and so forth. We recite Surah Al-Kahf, we increase in salawat. وَاصْطَفَى مِنَ الْلَيَالِ لَيْلَةَ الْقَدْرِ. From all the nights of the year, He chose and specified Laylatul Qadr, and that's the night in which the Quran was revealed. فَعَظِّمُوا مَا عَظَّمَ اللَّهِ. So honor the things that Allah has honored. فَعَظِّمُوا مَا عَظَّمَ اللَّهِ فَإِنَّمَا تُعَظَّمُ الْأُمُورُ بِمَا عَظَّمَهَا اللَّهُ بِهِ عِنْدَ أَهْلِ الْفَهْمِ وَأَهْلِ الْعَقْلِ. Verily, the people of understanding, people of common sense, of faith, the people of wisdom, they respect and they honor, they elevate the status of the things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has chosen, meaning they make them important in their lives. And one of the scholars, Al-Mawardi rahimahullah, in his tafsir, he says, if somebody were to ask you, why are there sacred months? Why did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala choose some months and made them sacred, special, rather than the entire year being special? What's the point of distinguishing some months? He said, this is so that people who stop sinning during these sacred times, during these sacred months, that action, you know how in Ramadan some people stop sinning, some people will work harder, some people read more Quran, some people come to the masjid, some people fast the entire month, they don't fast all year. These are examples that you're able to do more. So he said, when people stay away from sins during these sacred times, It's as though this is the strength, the catalyst, the pretext that they need to do this the rest of the year. And this is from the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for their well-being. He said at the end of this statement, مَصْلَحَةً مِنْهُ فِي عِبَادِهِ وَلُطْفًا بِهِمْ. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, out of His compassion and wisdom, specified certain times, certain months, certain hours, the day of Arafah, the night of Al-Qadr. So when that night comes, when that day comes, when that month comes, like this month of Muharram, and you know it's sacred, so you work harder, that act of self-discipline, of taqwa, of hard work, helps you the rest of the year. And that is the objective of specifying certain things. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keep us consistent. Allahumma ameen. There are so many lessons historically from so many incidents that took place during this month of Muharram that we are in, this sacred month. Amongst them, many of these scholars say, is the arrival of the Ahbash, the owners of the elephant led by Abraha al-Ashram to Mecca. And this was to destroy the Kaaba. And of course, we know the story in Surah Al-Fil. This is also the month in which the Qibla, the prayer direction, was set towards Bayt al-Maqdis. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala liberate and free Masjid al-Aqsa and bring it back to the hands of the believers, the hands of the righteous. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala aid and support all of our brothers and sisters who are oppressed in every land and place. And then for 16 or 17 months, it remained the Qibla, the first Qibla of Islam. And then later, the command came down, Surah Al-Baqarah, the command came down to change the Qibla towards the Kaaba. Also, during this month of Muharram, the city of Basra in modern-day Iraq was liberated under the leadership of Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anhu in year 14 after the Hijrah. And of course, during this month as well, 6 years later, year 20 after the Hijrah, Amr ibn al-As radiallahu anhu, he was amongst those in his group, of course, as the general, amongst those who liberated the area of Misr. And of course, during this month, 6 decades after the Hijrah, was the tragic incident of the Battle of Karbala, in which Al-Husayn radiallahu anhu was martyred. And we will, inshallah ta'ala, in the next khutbah next week, we will talk about the story with some analysis and some lessons, inshallah ta'ala, but it's beyond the scope of the khutbah today. So when we talk about this day and this month, when we talk about the first 10 days and we talk about Ashura, the 10th of Muharram, we know that this is a special day. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam arrived to Medina, and he heard that some of the Jewish tribe, they were fasting, and they were taking this as a special day. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam asked about this, and they mentioned that this is a good day, that there's good in it. And this is the day that Musa alayhi salam, Moses, was saved by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, of course, he said the words that we know, فَأَنَا حَقُّ بِمُوسَى مِنْكُمْ. I have more of a right, we have more of a right as Muslims to be close to Musa alayhi salam in terms of honoring this day and taking it as a day of worship. فَصَامَهُ, he fasted, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, وَأَمَرَ بِصِيَامِهِ, commanded the Muslims to fast. This was before the fast of Ramadan was revealed, before it was obligated. So in the beginning, the fast of Ashura was actually an obligation. The Muslims were required. In fact, in one of the reports, when some of the Sahaba started hearing about this, they were told, if you did not eat yet, then fast this day. Meaning fast this day. This is how important it is. Umar radiallahu an, long after Ramadan was obligated, would send out advices, messages, notes, letters written down to different companions. Make sure you and your family fast on this day. It's a very important day, the day of Ashura. And the one who fasts on that day, they have 1 year of their sins forgiven, expiated by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, not only did he fast this day, he loved this day. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was asked about which prayer was best, which salah, which kind of prayer is best and most excellent. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was asked about fasting as well. And he mentioned that prayer offered during the night, this is the best voluntary prayer after the obligation, of course. And the best of siyam, wa afdalu siyami ba'da shahra ramadan, siyamu shahri Allahi muharram, the month of Allah muharram. And what's interesting about this, it's similar to another report in which the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentions that the most beloved of fasting to Allah after Ramadan is the fasting of the month of Allah Muharram. This is the month that we are in right now. And the 10th day is the day many people will fast. Next Friday, the 10th day is the day many people will fast. And the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, if I live to next year, I will fast the 9th with it as well. The sunnah is to fast the day before it as well. And of course, during this month, generally speaking, During this month especially, try to fast as many days as possible. So if you were previously thinking about 3 days of the month, or Mondays and Thursdays, or even every other day, this is a month in which it is encouraged to fast as much as you possibly can. And it was reported from Abdullah bin Mas'ud that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was so keen to fast on this day more than any other day of the year, obviously aside from the month of Ramadan. And it is a sunnah again to try to do other acts of worship, dua and dhikr and so on and so forth, recitation of Quran, charity. But one thing that we have to emphasize here is that during this month in particular, oftentimes people are thinking about a new year. And generally speaking, when people talk about goal setting, whether Gregorian calendar or the Islamic Hijri calendar that we should try to be very familiar with and rely on, oftentimes people set a certain date as the date of starting something new. And in coaching psychology, what we're constantly told and what we're constantly taught is that if you're always waiting for a new year, you will always be amongst those who procrastinate. Meaning, when you burn out with a habit halfway through the year and you struggle, you may no longer think that this is the best time to start over. Rather, you're thinking about the next marker in the year. Ramadan, when you get married, when you go for Umrah, when you go for Hajj, when you have a child, when you move, when you graduate. So you're always thinking, I will change at another time, as though the future is guaranteed. But that mindset, according to many psychologists, that mindset usually means that that person won't change. That person does not really want to change. Because the one who wants to change for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala should not be waiting for the first of Muharram, should not be waiting for a Gregorian calendar year. You should not be waiting for 2024. Don't wait for the month of Ramadan. The best time to turn back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is always in the moment. When a reminder comes your way, when you read something online, when a Muslim, a family member advises you, when you remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that is the best moment to turn back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Renew your faith. Jaddidu imanakum. Make dhikr and dua. Read Quran. Go back to your goals and ask yourself the habits that you're struggling with. What were you Why were you motivated to begin with? What was it that caused you to start? Why is it so important to you? Look at your motivators and assess how much you're still following through with these motivations. Look at your challenges and assess what you need to do to avoid these challenges, the obstacles, the hardships that are stopping you from continuing. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us consistency. During this month of Muharram, oftentimes, we're talking about the Hijrah. It's now 1445, 1,445 years since the early Muslims who were persecuted and oppressed and killed and martyred had to flee for their lives. And we usually hear about those who fled when they had no option. Like many Muslims in the world today who are migrating from place to place, displaced at times, they don't have many options. They don't have many choices. They'll get into a boat and they'll try to get to another land and they will drown and take that risk, because they were looking for safety and security and opportunity. And yet we're living in a land in which we have a lot of opportunity and a lot of freedoms and a lot of ability to be strong Muslims and proud Muslims and vocal Muslims and active in our communities and active politically as well. And at times we are so far distracted, entertained by the luxuries of this life, we're not taking advantage of the privileges that we have. When we talk about migration, hijrah, we look at examples like Abdurrahman bin Auf radiallahu anhu. He didn't have to migrate. Abdurrahman bin Auf was almost a millionaire in today's terms when they told him, if you want to leave, to summarize, if you want to leave Mecca, if you want to leave with your people, the Muslims, if you want to follow your friend Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, everything you made, all the money you have that you made from our economy, you leave it here. You leave with nothing. Abdurrahman bin Auf radiallahu anhu was willing to sacrifice everything. And he left with nothing. He left everything behind and migrated, like the other Muslims migrated. And when he got to Medina, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed him with so much rizq that at the end of his life, it was said by Talha radiallahu anh that everyone in Medina was benefiting from the wealth of Abdurrahman bin Auf. Maybe one third of the people had benefited from him by getting loans from him. Other people benefited through his charity. And one third of the people worked for his empire, to the extent that some scholars of Islamic finance, they said if you were to try to have an equivalency, to figure out how much money he would have had in today's terms, in 2023, it would be perhaps 50 million to 500 million, and some even said over $5 billion. He would have been one of the wealthiest people in Islamic history. Abdurrahman bin Auf memorized the Quran, used to pray with Surah Al-Baqarah, used to lead the salah at times. Abdurrahman bin Auf was a mujahid as well. He was not afraid, he was not ashamed. So when you say someone had a lot of money and they're so busy with their jobs and their businesses, so they have an excuse, we look at Abdurrahman bin Auf and we say, to have a lot of money and to be a religious Muslim doesn't mean you just give in charity. You have to also want to be involved in the community's growth. You want to learn, you want to pray, you want to memorize the Quran. And there are, alhamdulillah, many examples in our community and around the world who are doing that. But at the end of the day, the question for us is, what are we willing to do to migrate from a past life of sinfulness, to migrate away from sins and towards Allah, to migrate away from bad friends and towards good environments? What are you willing to sacrifice for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, knowing that the reward is worth it? May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive us and make us a people who perform hijrah spiritually for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keep us consistent until our last breaths. Ask Allah for forgiveness. He's the all-forgiving, the ever-merciful. Alhamdulillah. Wassalatu wassalamu ala rasulillah wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa man wala. During these days, sure, we emphasize fasting, we emphasize Quran, we emphasize dua and dhikr, being present in the masjid for as many prayers as you can, and bringing our children, our families to the masajid as well, being active in learning and bringing them to the halaqat and circles of knowledge as well. But do not forget the internal state. Do not forget the state of the heart. Do not forget to make dua. Allahumma aslih qalbi, O Allah, purify my heart. It's one of the greatest dua you can make. Because when your heart is purified, the external deeds become easier. In fact, they become sweet to you. Start to enjoy them. When the heart is purified, your character changes. During this month and during other months as well, when many Muslims are trying to become better, don't emphasize only the external things. Do those things and focus on them and be consistent. But make sure you're also taking care of your character with your family, that you invest in your relationships, that you invest in your parents, your children, your spouse, your relatives, your neighbors, that you're taking care of the rights of other people as well. Because one of the greatest acts of worship is good character. One of the heaviest deeds on the scale on the Day of Judgment is good character. So as this month of Muharram began, and as this month is a month that is sacred, in which sinfulness is more severe, so abandon it, in which good deeds are rewarded, multiplied, so try to pursue as many as possible. Let us focus on what we can do within our homes, within our communities, internally in our hearts, externally with our ibadat, and let us be consistent as we migrate away from a lifestyle of sinfulness, a lifestyle or a particular habit of sinfulness, and towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's pleasure. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive us and the believing men and women, those who are living and those who passed away. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant mercy on those who are trying to do good wherever they are and to encompass them with His mercy. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to alleviate the affairs of our brothers and sisters in every land and every place. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant us the good of this coming year for ourselves, our families, and this ummah. And we ask Allah to protect us and our ummah in the coming years. Allahumma ameen.